I know that song has been around for a while. One of the pictures, I guess, that always comes to my mind when we sing it is the last night of our session of church camp, Green Valley Bible Camp. And we're up on top of the hill, up on top of the mountain of our camp. And we're gathered up together and worshiping together. And a lot of times that's one of the songs that we sing when we're all huddled up together. And it's pretty awesome. It's pretty amazing. You do stand in awe of God in that moment. It's pretty cool. Speaking of which, if you have not signed your child up for Green Valley Bible Camp, you need to do that. Matter of fact, I'll let you do it right now. Get your phone out. Go to www.greenvalleybiblecamp.com. Do we even use www anymore? Anyway, go to greenvalleybiblecamp.com and get signed up for our session to camp. I would love for all of our seniors to be there. I'd love for all of our teens. Love for all of our kids' own kids. I mean, we got day camp for our younger kids. We got overnight camp. And I would really love to pack out the cabins there at camp. So please do that. If you got grandkids, send them to camp. If you got nieces and nephews, besides your own kids, you got neighbor kids, if there's some stranger walking through the aisles of Walmart, say to them, I think you should send your kids to our session at camp. Because we really want to have an awesome week together out there. And that's coming up in July. And we need to get people signed up for it. So please do that today. Please do that as soon as you can. That has nothing to do with my lesson this morning, but just I thought of as we were singing that song together. I want to make sure to mention that to you guys. This is one of those times of year where we have kind of a bunch of significant days all kind of, you know, bunched together, if you think about it. I mean, we had Easter last month. We had Mother's Day a couple weeks ago. Today, we're celebrating Senior Sunday, but it's graduation day for both colleges and high school kids. By the way, to all of our college grads that might be in the audience, congratulations to you guys. Way to go. You did it. And then Memorial Day is coming up next week, and then we get into June, and, you know, some of us remember Father's Day. It's kind of on the calendar. But we have a lot of different, holidays kind of all, bunched together, if you think about it, at this time of year. And I don't know, I think all of us, if we just start asking the question, like, what's your favorite holiday? What's the one that means the most to you? What's the ones you enjoy celebrating the most? We'd have a whole bunch of different answers. A bunch of them would be the same, but we might have some different ones. I'm sure the top ones would be like Christmas, Thanksgiving, 4th of July, things like that. But I don't know, maybe there's certain holidays that maybe none of us would mention, or you'd be an outlier if you did. I don't know how many of y'all celebrate Flag Day. Anybody celebrate Flag Day? If you do, raise your hand real high. That's kind of what I thought, okay? And no judgment. I just don't know that many people that actually celebrate Flag Day. Does anybody even know when Flag Day is? June 14th. Very good. But I don't know how many people actually fly a flag on Flag Day. We don't really have a national, or I guess a holiday for, like, Pearl Harbor or D-Day. We know when those dates are, but we don't really do a bunch of memorial kind of, like, we'll see Band of Brothers marathons on TV and stuff like that, but I don't know how many of us have that circled on our calendar. There's certain special days that mean more to us than others, and sometimes we even get it wrong. I mean, I don't know if y'all knew this or not. This is historical. There's a copy of this letter that John Adams wrote to his wife back in 1776 when the Continental Congress decided we are going to declare our independence from England. And he said, this day is going to be marked for future generations. I'm sure, and I'm kind of paraphrasing, but he's like, I'm sure it's going to be marked with cannon fire and shooting rifles and rockets and things like that. It's going to be a celebration in America for generations moving forward. You know what date he said? July 2nd. You might know why. Because July 2nd was when the Continental Congress voted to become independent from England. Then they got the document out and wrote that out, the Declaration of Independence, which was ratified on July 4th. So John Adams had the wrong date from the get-go, but he wrote a letter to his wife, said, man, July 2nd, that's going to be the day for generations forward. Anybody celebrate July 2nd around here? Probably not, right? Because we got July 4th. So even sometimes there are special days to us that aren't as special to other people. Think about different memorials that we have. I mean, go to Washington, D.C. Look, you got the Washington Memorial, the Lincoln Memorial, the FDR, MLK. You got all these different memorials. Why do we have those? So that we remember something about that person. So we were reminded of some significant things that they did. And sometimes there's even memorials around here that we can look at that statue and go, oh, that's a significant person. We might have to do some research and find out who that person was. Anybody ever drive down the highway and you see a sign that says historical marker? And you go and find the historical marker and it's just a sign that says something significant happened right here in this spot. You know, sometimes there's not even anything there but a sign. But somebody wanted everybody else to remember something significant happened here. And even some of those things we don't even completely remember. A few years ago when I took a bunch of teenagers to Colorado and we climbed a mountain, we get up on top of this 13,000 some odd foot mountain and there's, you know, the pile of rocks, the cairn that was there. And at the bottom of this pile of rocks was a rock that had etched on it, in memory, I wrote it down, in memory of Ned Cosgrove. I don't know who Ned Cosgrove was. I don't know anything about him. I think I tried to Google and see what it was, but I don't think there was really anything. Maybe there are a whole bunch of names that popped up. But somebody wanted people who got up to the top of that mountain to remember Ned Cosgrove. I don't know who he was. I don't know anything about him. And we have these holidays. We have these memorial days. We have actual memorials and statues that may be significant to us and may not mean that much to other people. Or maybe there's a lot of those things that are significant to almost all of us. But at the same time, maybe we don't even recognize the meaning behind it. I mean, Memorial Day for a lot of us, all we're thinking about is a day off of work, maybe cooking out, maybe going to the lake, something like that. How much do we actually remember people who have sacrificed their lives for our country on Memorial Day? And I'm not judging, I'm saying just this, that's just part of human nature. It's what we do. We have these things, we have these significant moments in our lives, or we have significant people in our lives, and we think to ourselves, I don't want to forget. I always want to remember, and I always want to pay attention to that particular date or that particular event or that particular person. And sometimes we hold on to those things, and sometimes as time goes on, we start to forget about them. Or they just don't mean as much to us, or they don't mean as much to somebody else as they do to us. And that's what I want us to be thinking about as we take a closer look at what Brandon mentioned earlier in our communion thoughts, these holy days that we find in Scripture. If you go through Scripture, you find different times that God told his people, circle this on your calendar. They probably didn't have calendars back then, but you know what I mean? Like pay attention to this date. And we would circle it on our calendar, and God would say, you need to make sure that this day means something to you. There's something significant that I want you to do on this date. There's a ritual that I want you to go through. There's some things I want you to think about and focus on this particular day. And you see those multiple times throughout Scripture, and that's what we're going to start looking at together today and for the next few weeks. And we're not going to look at every single one. We're not going to talk about the Sabbath days. Those came about every single week, and they were significant, and God gave reasons why. But we're not going to take the time to do that. There's a significant day later on in Jewish history called Purim. We're not going to look at that. We're not going to pay attention, at least at this time, to Hanukkah and some other things that were significant in the history of God's people. We're actually going to look at seven holy days that God describes in Leviticus chapter 23. So if you got your Bibles, you got your Bible apps, go to Leviticus. And if you don't know where that is, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, third book in your Bible. Okay? And the first five books of your Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, those are kind of the story of God's people leading up to the time, the history of God's people leading up to the time that they were going to enter into what is now Palestine. Back then was called Canaan. And so there's a lot of different characters, a lot of different stories, but Exodus through Deuteronomy, those four books, really talk about God getting his people out of Egypt, where they had been slaves for hundreds of years, bringing them through the wilderness and bringing them to the banks of the Jordan River before they went into this promised land, this land of Canaan that God was going to give them. And when you read through Exodus, you read through Leviticus, you read through Numbers, you read through Deuteronomy, there's a lot of laws and a lot of rituals that are described. God talks about how he wants his worship place, what he wants it to look like. And he talks about different things, different sacrifices that he wants offered. And he talks about different ways that people need to live their lives and how to handle certain legal things and certain social situations. There's a lot of different rules and regulations and rituals throughout those books. And Leviticus is one of them that's pretty much all that you find in Leviticus. And it goes anywhere from how to handle it when somebody murders somebody to how to get, you know, mold and mildew out of your house. I mean, there's a whole bunch of different rules that are listed in there. But we're going to pay attention to Leviticus chapter 23. Look at the first couple of verses here, what Scripture says. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, these are my appointed festivals, the appointed festivals of the Lord, which you are to proclaim as sacred assemblies." Now, notice a couple things right off the bat. God says, these days are my days, and I am sharing them with you. These are significant to me, and I want them to be significant to you. These days matter. They matter to me, and I want them to matter to you. And so it's something that God shares with his people. It's not something that he's given them as a burden. He's saying, I'm giving you this gift. I'm giving you these certain days. And the second thing you see here is he uses the word, these are sacred assemblies. Or some of your English translations may say, these are holy assemblies. These are special. These aren't like the rest of the days of the week. These aren't like the rest of the days on the calendar. These are special days. These are set apart days. These are days not like any other. And that's what we're going to look at, because after he says that in verses 1 and 2, then he lists off 7 of them. And so just to let you know what these days are, kind of give you a glimpse of where we're going as we go through this journey together. The first one he talks about is the Passover, which celebrates how God rescued his people from Egyptian slavery through he brought 10 plagues against the nation of Egypt, and this was the 10th plague, the death of the firstborn child, and he rescued his people from that. And they celebrate that with Passover. The next one is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is kind of connected to the Passover, but it's different. But they spent a whole week, God's people, he expected them to spend a whole week not putting any leaven, any yeast in their bread. Not only that, they had to get all the yeast out of the house. Couldn't have any yeast anywhere around. And then there's the Feast of First Fruits. And some of your Bibles, I've got the word feast up here. Some of your Bibles might say festival of these things. Same kind of thing. And the Feast of the First Fruits was, you know, you got people growing crops. And when it's time to harvest your crops, the first sheaf of bundled grain that you bring in from your farm, that you're going to sacrifice that to God. That's the first fruits. The Feast of Weeks, or in the New Testament, it's called Pentecost. But this is a feast or a festival that takes place 7 weeks after the Passover. The Feast of Trumpets, which is exactly what it sounds like. There's going to be some sacrifices offered, and we're going to blow on trumpets. And we're going to talk about that together. There's the Day of Atonement. This is when the high priest would go and offer sacrifices to ask God for forgiveness for all of the nation of Israel. And then the Feast of Tabernacles, where God wanted his people to take a week to leave their house and go live in a tent, or get a bunch of branches and kind of shape them into a hut and go live in that for a week. These are the holy days. These are the sacred days that God gave his people. And it wasn't just for while they were out here in the wilderness wandering around. God says, I want this to happen for future generations. For time going on and on and on, I want you to remember these days. Now, let me say this. I don't think that we today are required to still observe these holy days. I don't think that's a requirement that God still gives his people today, to make sure that you go live in a tent for a week. Or that you make sure to go blow on trumpets on this one particular day. I don't think that's a requirement that God has of us. Matter of fact, Paul says in Romans chapter 14, he's talking to the church in Rome. He says, some of you guys think there are significant days that we need to pay attention to. And some of you guys think that every day is exactly the same. And you know what? You're both right. It's okay. You got special days you want to observe? Great. You want to treat every day the same? Great. Don't pass judgment on each other. He says the same thing in Colossians chapter 2 as well, which says we don't need to be judging people or be critical of people because they do or don't observe certain days. Be careful about that kind of stuff. Don't be divisive about those things. So as we go through these holy days, I want us to understand these aren't necessarily requirements for us who have given our lives to Jesus, who are children of God nowadays. But I think it's significant for us to take a look at them. Now, you might be thinking, if we don't have to do these things, why are we talking about them? Why do they even matter? Is there something about these feasts and festivals and days of sacrifice that even speak into my life in 2026 nowadays? I mean, some of you are going, I don't have a tent to go live in. I don't have a trumpet. There's no I don't think we're even allowed to sacrifice lambs here in America. So how am I supposed to observe these? Why should they even matter now? So let me go through real quick. I mean, this will be real fast. Some reasons why God gave these, why I believe God gave these to his people in the first place, and why those principles should still matter to us now. And one reason is what Brandon already mentioned in his communion thoughts. Rhythms, structure, schedule. A lot of these holidays coincide with planting season. A lot of these holidays coincide with things that would be happening in the world that his people were living in at the time. And so having that structure and having some things to look forward to and know that on this day, this is the day that I'm paying attention to God, and I'm going to move forward to the next time when we have this sacred time together. And it just provided rhythm and provided structure for those folks. And let's be honest, some of us need that in our lives, don't we? We need rhythms. We need structure. We need things that we circle on our calendar and put in our planners and go, this day is going to matter. And this is part of my moving through this life that God is leading me through. God also uses these days to give his people rest. I mean, almost all these days, you're not allowed to do any work. You go sacrifice, you go worship. Some of them you go eat, but you rest. And that was a gift from God to his people. It forced his people to be still for a minute, to recharge, to re-energize. But it also was a test of faith. If you are living in a culture where your existence relies on the crops you grow and the animals that you raise, and you take one day off, you got problems. What's going to happen to your crops? What's going to happen to your animals? If you're doing no work, if you're not allowed to go take care of those things, it's a test of faith. It's a statement of faith. I trust that God is going to take care of the things that matter to me. And he's going to provide for me, even if I'm not going to be doing the work, I'm not going to be tilling the ground, and I'm not going to be taking care of my animals today. He's going to take care of those things for me. We need that kind of trust. We need that kind of rest in our lives, even nowadays, don't we? To be able to take a day, to be able to even just take a few hours and go, I'm going to focus on nothing else but God. Yeah, there's phone calls to return. Yeah, there's things on my schedule, but I'm going to focus on him, and I'm going to rest. It's important. God used these days as teachable moments. These holidays, these festivals, there are ways to teach the community and for families to teach their kids. This is what God has done for us, and this is why it matters to be the people of God. And I think that's something that we constantly need, reminders that who God is, who we are, what our relationship to him should be. That's what these festivals did for God's people back then, and that's what we still need nowadays. God used these festivals, these feasts, as an opportunity to create community. They're celebrating these things together. We're all getting our trumpets out. We're all going and living in tents and tabernacles. We're all bringing our first fruits in to God. It's something that we're connected. We're connecting ourselves to God, but we're connected with each other in these things. And in the culture nowadays, where we have so many technological advances that are supposed to create more community and more relationship and more connection with the social media and our phones, you know, almost attached to our ears, all those different things that are supposed to help us stay connected. And even psychologists will say we are probably some of the most disconnected people that have ever lived in our country in all of history. We need community. We need connection. God provided that for his people before, and we still need that today. Another thing that these festivals will discover, another thing they did was they pointed forward to Jesus. They pointed forward to a Messiah. The reason that some of the things that we see being celebrated are some of the things that find their ultimate fulfillment in Jesus. And we're going to discover more about Jesus and his place in our lives and his mission on this earth as we go through these holy days together. So this is what we're going to do. This is why it's important to pay attention to these days. And I'm looking forward to going through this with you. Let me give you one more reason before we wrap up this morning. One more reason that I think is probably the most important of why God gave his people these holy days. And that is to help them remember. He wanted his people to remember. Don't forget. Forget what? Remember what? Remember God's provision and remember God's rescue. God's provision and God's rescue. God never wanted his people to forget that he provided for them. He never wanted his people to forget what he rescued them from. And that's what I think we still need today. As far as provision goes, God provided for his people and continued to provide for them after they got into this land that he gave them. Once they started building their cities and their homes and kind of carving out a life for themselves, God even told them ahead of time, you're going to run the risk of forgetting that I'm the one providing for you. I mean, to be honest, they're the ones tilling the ground. They're the ones taking care of the livestock. They're the ones fighting their enemies. They're the ones that are building their homes. It's me, God. I'm the one doing all the work here. I'm the labor. I'm the one that's making this happen. And God knew that his people would forget that it's him that gave them those talents and those abilities. It's him that gave them that land. It's him that provided all those things for them. Yeah, they were getting a benefit from those things, but those were gifts from God. And he even warns them ahead of time before they ever got into the promised land. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17, he says, there may come a time where you say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. I wonder how much or how often we say something similar nowadays. This is my resume. This is the career that I built. This is the house that I bought. This is my car. This is my stuff. It's not intentional. We're not trying to be selfish and self-centered. It's just what we naturally do. God knows that about us. And so God carved out these special days, these holy days for his people to remind them, to help them remember it's him that is providing for them. And folks, we still need that reminder for us. We need to remember that God still provides for his people. And it's not about God being a glory hound and going, you better thank me for all the things I'm doing for you. He is helping us to choose humility and to choose reliance on him instead of feeling like we had to provide for ourselves, and to choose surrender to his will instead of selfishness. God is basically telling his people, I don't need your sacrifices. You need your sacrifices. You need to go through these days and these rituals, these sacrifices, so that you remember me and how good I have been to you. It's not about you. Oh, we still need that kind of reminder nowadays. We need to remember God's provision. We also need to remember God's rescue. God wanted to use these holy days to remind his people what he had rescued them from. That he had rescued them from the angel of death. That he had rescued them from starvation and dehydration in the wilderness. That he had rescued them from enemies who came and attacked them at their most vulnerable moment. That he had rescued them from disease and from plagues. That he had rescued them from their sin, from their guilt, from their consequences. God consistently rescued his people when they could do nothing to save themselves. And God says, I don't want you to forget that. I want you to remember what I've rescued you from. Don't dwell on it. Don't wallow in guilt and self-pity over who you used to be. Celebrate where you are now because I rescued you. I pulled you from a situation that you could do nothing about because I love you that much. That's what these holy days were about. And that's what God still wants us to remember now. He told his people in Deuteronomy chapter 1, there you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son all the way till you reach this place. God says, I wrapped you up in my arms. When you could not defend yourself, you could not help yourself, you could not provide for yourself, I wrapped you up and I rescued you and I carried you through all the storms and the wilderness and the battles. I carried you. Don't forget that. Remember that. So, this is why God gave these days to his people. This is why God says, these are my days that I'm sharing with you. And I'm excited to go through these days with you over the next few weeks. I hope you are too. I want to wrap up with this morning. You can use the bulletin that you got when you walked in the door. You can use the notes section on the back of your Connect card. You can use the notes app on your phone. You can use a scratch piece of paper. Or just use your own mind, I guess. But I want to ask you two questions this morning. Two questions you need to answer for yourself. What has God provided for me? What has God provided for me? I would love for you to write that question down. And maybe think about it here in this moment. Maybe later on today after lunch. Maybe throughout this whole week. Man, just start writing down what God has provided you with. Because that list is going to get long. Because our God provides us with things that we don't even take the time to think about, much less be thankful for. What has God provided you with? Second question, what has God rescued you from? I mean, Paul says in Colossians chapter 1 that Jesus has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and brought us into his kingdom of light. What has God rescued you from? Has he rescued you from an addiction? Has he rescued you from an abusive relationship? Has he rescued you from depression? Has he rescued you from your dumb choices with your finances? What has God rescued you from that you couldn't get yourself out of? Because we need to remember. We need to remember what God has provided, and we need to remember how God has rescued. We need to constantly remind ourselves of those two things. So take time to do that today. Take time to do that this week. Because here's the thing, folks. I'm not even including the people online, just the people in this room. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your skin color, your gender. It doesn't matter what your paycheck is. It doesn't matter which town you live in, which neighborhood you live in, where your kids go to school. It doesn't matter what company you work for. It doesn't matter the things that you have been addicted to or are still addicted to. It doesn't matter the things that you struggle with. It doesn't matter how much anger and resentment you're holding on to or how much of that you've finally let go of. We all have our stories. We all have things that we have struggled with. We all have things that we have needed provided for us in our lives. And no matter how successful and talented we are and how many people that we have surrounding us or support system for us, we still need God to provide for us. And no matter how good our story has been or how difficult it has been, we have all needed to be rescued. And God has done that for us. So let's be thankful for that. Let's remember that and let's be thankful for it today. Let's be thankful for it this week. Tomorrow, Christy and I will celebrate 30 years of marriage. That's okay. I wasn't saying that for the applause, but thank you. I appreciate it. We've celebrated in different ways over the years. And sometimes it's been a trip somewhere. Sometimes it's just been like a weekend getaway. Sometimes it's been, let's just go to a really nice restaurant. There were also times where, hey, we got two ball games to take the boys to tonight. Which one are you going to? And let's pick up some Wendy's on the way home. Happy anniversary. It's been, we've celebrated in multiple kinds of ways. And sometimes the day seems like it mattered more than others. But how we have celebrated has never mattered nearly as much as the why. Because we want to remember 30 years ago, we chose each other. And we've been committed to that ever since. These holy days that we're going to talk about for the next few weeks are important. And the principles that come from them are important. But how people observe those days, while important, is not nearly as important as the why. Coming here to church, being involved in a connection group, living our lives on a daily basis, how we do that is varied. The why is important. Because we've been provided for, we've been rescued, we've been loved, we've been forgiven. We have hope. We have grace. Let's not forget. Let's not forget. So we're going to stand up together and sing a song together about how much we need our God, about how much we need his provision, his rescue. And when we stand up to sing that song, if you're standing there as we start singing, you're realizing, man, it's been a long time since I've even paid attention to what God has done in my life. He's provided in ways that I forgot about. He's rescued me from more things than I can count, and I have consistently walked away from that. If you want help from this church family to get reconnected with that God who has done so much for you, you're welcome to come to the front. Just share that with us. Share what you need prayers for. Share what you need help with. And we will do whatever we can to help. If you have never known what it's like to be a child of God, to know what it's like to be rescued, to know what it's like to be provided for in ways that you can't imagine, you're welcome to come to the front and say, I'm ready to give my life to him today. I'm ready to have him as my God. I'm ready to experience all those things that you've talked about. I want that to happen today, and we can help make that happen too. Let's remember what God has done for us. Let's celebrate it as we sing together. And if we can help you live in it even more, then come to the front and let us know how. While together we stand and sing.